This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You still, I guess, can follow me on Twitter, but I'm not the one on Twitter right now. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always listen on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. Also, you can stream us on the TuneIn radio app as well as the iHeart radio app. All you gotta do is search for 92.9 FM ESPN. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How are you liking this?
I'm miserable.
You knew exactly where I was going with it.
And it's like getting cold and
I don't mind the cold that much.
You've got Florida in your blood.
Yeah, but I also have New York in my blood.
Yeah. Well, it's usually one and the same.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's the rain, man. Mm-hmm. It's the worst kind of rain.
It's too. The worst kind of rain, and then it's just that, you know, if you have a dog, you're like, "Oh god, why did I get a dog?" These are those days that you're just like and like my dog desperately needs a bath, but then you're waiting, you're like, "Well, I don't want to give him a bath or have him go get a bath and then
just run outside again." Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Just the absolute worst. He's going to join us for the opening segment as well as the top of the next hour. He is, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad. You can follow him on socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, you got to be like me. You hate the cold, too.
Yeah. Great day. Great hump day. But, yeah, Jeffrey, it's cold and raining, and I cut the heat on one day, but then it ended up not being as cold that day, so now my house mad at me. So, everything y'all done said from the dog, you know, I didn't volunteer to get this dog. This is on my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm dealing with the dog going in and out with the wetness. Mm-hmm. So everything y'all have started this off. And not to make a Twitter joke, Jeffrey, but I was going to text you last. We can congratulate you. Mm-hmm. I know you always have nice Tahoes.
Yeah.
It had like you had a brand new.
Yeah, I got a new Maybach. Like, yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you know I've been mining for Bitcoin?
Yes. I almost got food, and I thought about, that ain't Jeffrey no more. No. It almost got me cold.
No, I said this on yesterday's show. Most people texted me in some form or fashion, like, hey, you got hacked. But there's like 10% of my friends that I have known for a very long time and are not just like work friends, like actually know me. And they were like, hey, man, you just got a Maybach? Like, they're like, First off, there was two things that were subtly insulting. Number one, basically what they were saying was like, we know how much you and your wife make, like you can't afford that. Like, so there was that, which is fine. There could be some legitimate concern of like, hey man, maybe like don't go broke before you turn 40. But then there was like some, like the fact that like I would go on, like even if I did go and mine for some Bitcoin, you would not be reading about it on Twitter. And the fact that they think that I'm capable of bragging about what I did on Twitter, that was a little insulting as well.
That was probably knowing you the most insulting, because it's like, I'm not that type of guy, you know what I mean?
No, it's like I wasn't raised that way. Like, come on.
Yeah. But it did look nice. I was happy to say congratulations. Mm-hmm. When you speak on going broke before 40, you're a little younger than me, I think, Jeff, but I'm in that range where I'm a couple years from 40. And even with me thinking about getting this new house, I keep telling myself, if I get this, I got to do 15 years, because if I'm doing 30, that's 70. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, then you start doing some uncomfortable math. Like math, it's like, this is literally like the rest of my life.
Yeah. And I got this house for my kids. So it's like, no, this needs to be done at 50-something, at the latest. So
yeah.
It makes you think like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. All right, so let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. A couple of hoops things I want to talk about with Coach. Then Jason Munns is going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on our first look at the Tigers from Monday night. We'll talk about that and more. We'll get into the list during the second hour. Lots of NFL injuries. Like, we are just at that point of like, oh yeah, it's November, and you just realize like we're about to have some NFL games that are just going to look gross because everybody's banged up. So we'll talk about that. Maybe get into the coaching carousel during hour number two. We'll tell your story and then we'll get out of here. But I wanted to start here with you, Coach, because over at ESPN, they've come up with their I believe it's Jeff Borzello, Myron Metcalf, and Joe Lenardi. They're doing their mega college basketball preview. And here is where I wanted to start with you, because I was thinking about on Monday night, and I don't know how much of the game you got to watch, the exhibition you got to watch. But the thing that stood out to me, and again, it's early, whatnot, but I found myself like not even disappointed in Memphis. I just found myself really impressed by Arkansas. And I know Arkansas was a Sweet 16 team last year, but they're not pushing to be one of the favorites in the SEC. And I think that's the big question that I have is, do we think the SEC is going to have another year in which they kind of dominate the sport?
So to answer your last question, yeah, I do think the SEC, you know, will have the most teams in the tournament, if you say dominate the sport. Yeah, I think so. Just because of the, you know, although they complain about not getting the shares they want, I mean, the football and just the revenue that's coming through the school period has just created a whole nother element for the SEC. So I didn't been to, you know, Ole Miss practice. I meant to hit you a few weeks ago. I went to Ole Miss practice. And that following weekend, they handled Houston pretty well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had one of the, what do we call them, secret scrimmages.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought those were going away as we start to do these more public exhibitions. I kind of thought the secret scrimmage would go away. But to your point, like, I think Ole Miss is a good example of a team where if you look at them, I think that they are better than they were last year from a roster standpoint. I don't know if that means they wind up being a better team, but I think their roster is better than they were last year. But we're still talking about a team that, what, George, preseason, what were they, eighth in the SEC?
Exactly. And they're bigger than long. And I don't know if it was even secret, Jeffrey, because it was at the New Orleans Pelican Smoothie King
Center
and everything. I just don't think it was maybe on TV.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a secret. I think.
Okay, so this is not the old on campus. The good old days of the. To me, college basketball peaked when you had. If you were covering in media and you had some, like, I was always fairly close with the guys on the basketball staff because they were a little bit nicer and they weren't as paranoid. There's nothing better than, hey, you want the stat sheet? The old stat sheet from the secret scrimmage. That was always my favorite.
And it's supposed to be like that now, but with the social media and everything, everybody is putting out highlights and stat sheets, even from the private scrimmage. You will hear about it, oh, this person won by two. But it's really publicized. But Arkansas, to answer your question, pretty good. And I kind of talked a little bit on, Jason them earlier. I think Arkansas is what I thought they were, but I still do think Memphis is actually, you know, pretty good also with that. And I don't know if we're getting into this yet.
No, I'm happy going there because I didn't know how much of it you saw. I found myself. Like, I'm not going to dock them because A, the game was officiated extremely tightly to the point in which where it seemed like that was like the goal was to have the game officiated like that. So they got, you know, they get into foul trouble with their front court. But like, I thought Doug looks like a very good player. I honestly, like, I know the stat sheet maybe wasn't overwhelming, but I kind of liked what I saw from Bradshaw, because the other thing is, it wasn't like Bradshaw was just going up against AAC or American quality bigs. Like, man, Arkansas's got some dudes down low.
Yeah. So let me tell you what I take from that. So at one point, I felt like I probably watched 3/4 of the game. At one point, well, let me rewind it. I feel like the first 15 minutes, Memphis was big time. They were up double digits. They were picking up, you know, full. You would have thought it was an AAU game. Both of the teams were picking up each other full court. Memphis was really hitting them in the mouth and showing speed. I said this earlier, Jeffrey. I'm one of them coaches, if you ever come to my game, you'll be like, why Herd acting so crazy in the first half? Reason why, I don't think Memphis lost their game in the second half, although they kind of got, you know, whooped. To me, that first half when they was up double digits and they allowed Kentucky to tie it right before half,
yeah.
To me, instead of coming back with that momentum and gap, a lot of people don't realize them are big points of the game. And once Arkansas got the momentum and them freshmen got going, at one point it felt like they was getting every offensive rebound. And I don't think it was because they was bigger than us. They was just getting 50-50 ball. It was like Billy and the other guys was just every time the ball went up, they were going, you know, and getting second chance points. So as much as I love Bradshaw, and I don't have a stat sheet in front of me, I'm just going by the eye test. You're in college, you know, you ain't no pro yet. We don't need, like, the Jaren Jackson. We still need you to rebound. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that, because Jeff's comment on Tuesday when he came in, and this was just kind of an offhanded comment, but he was talking about how it is funny to watch a John Calipari team and, like, look over and think about how they just still – like, his teams do have an identity. Like, they are tough physically usually, and – he was like looking over and like seeing a guy like Nick Pringle. He's like, that's a guy that like used to just be at Memphis. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I thought that was interesting, because I kind of had the same thing. It's like, I was trying to decide of how much of it was Arkansas was playing harder or whatnot versus like, you know, like to me, sometimes it looks like you're playing harder if you're just faster. You know what I mean? Like, if you're getting to those 50-50 balls if you're faster, and like, I don't really, because I don't have a great frame of reference with a lot of these Tiger players, I don't really know if that, like, is it an athleticism thing, is it an effort thing? It's like, if it, because that's literally my first impression, other than, you know, I've seen Doug play a decent amount, but other than that, you know, a lot of what you're seeing is kind of first impression.
Well, this is what I do get a staff at Memphis that some people might not know, unless you know what I'm saying, unless you're kind of inside. And I know the goal and the fans want them to win, but they also, it was times where y'all probably been like, this lineup shouldn't be out here that long. They did, this is what they're using this for too. And there's no excuses. They did, it was certain lineups that they wanted to see in real time. And they seen which ones was good and which ones wasn't. And some would be coming back and some won't. So that's no excuse. But it was certain lineups, just like most people in the crowd knew they didn't go together. They know too. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I definitely think there was some experimenting. I guess, though, I'm still a little worried he's going to play too many guys with this team.
People have been saying that. I think I'm going to say this. If it was a private scrimmage like me and you were just talking about earlier, it wouldn't have been a big of a deal. Because Memphis basketball is so passionate, although it was an exhibition game, I think, and we can all act like, oh, it's just an exhibition game, a lot of our fans don't know how to – so they still was very passionate about it, and they were still on pins and needles about winning and losing, right?
It is one of those weird things of, even if you know it's an exhibition, there's just something about when there's the scoreboard and they're keeping score. It's like you can't help but overreact.
Yeah, you're at a real game, right? And so our fans can't cut it on and off. But in reality, I don't know if you remember, Jeff, it was years ago. Was it Virginia or something in the preseason? Lost to like a D2 or NIHB, and they went to the championship. You know what I mean? So these are times.
Well, I don't remember the year that UVA won. See, I couldn't remember because one year I thought they lost to like a D2 team, and then that was the year they were the one seed and lost to UMBC. But I couldn't remember if that was the same year or the next year. But and in fairness to UVA, when they lost as lost to the 16 as the one, like they were missing two starters like that had just gotten hurt. So like they were probably overseeded to begin with. But I mean, Josh, one year remember they lost to CBU.
They did?
Yes, in an exhibition.
Oh, CBU. I thought you said Lamar.
No. Sorry. Josh Pastner, one year lost to CBU. I can't remember if that was his last year or whatnot, but like there was one year in there where he lost to CBU in the exhibition.
Oh, okay. When they used to play Lamar. Oh, okay. And did they still do pretty good that year?
I want to look it up. I can't remember if that was the last time they made the tournament or if that was like the beginning of the end. So it was the 2014 season. So they still, in 14, I think they still went to the tournament, right?
To the tournament. Yeah, I think so, too. That probably was Joe and them senior year, I believe, and they came out of high school.
That sounds right, because wasn't Joe was class of 11, right?
10. 10,
okay.
11. Yeah, so it. But this is what I do enjoy about that. Also, outside of the loss, and when it started getting a little out of hand at the end, you know, we don't know how to act because – I'm just knowing no fool is going to get on social media after the exhibition game, but I've seen some crazy comments even after that game. I'm going to leave it alone. But what it does tell me about this city and about Penny Hardaway and his staff about recruiting high-end players, if you had any recruits in that day, you see if Memphis is behind it, if they like your product, if they think it's a good product, They're going all out. That atmosphere was like no other. I talked to all kind of, people, that was there. And it shows that Memphis is still a really big-time basketball situation for premier college basketball players.
No, I think the other thing that it showed me is you got to get your boy Cal on the phone, and you got to tell him, hey, man, you need to do this every year. Like they need to play a home and home. Like I don't care if he has to come to Memphis every year, do 1 year in Fayetteville, 1 year here. But like that was the other thing. It's like I just feel like when we're in this era, when we're talking about it's difficult to get people to come outside, and it's like I understand this is less of a Memphis issue. I think Memphis would sign in blood to play this. I think even if they even offered the Tennessee, the one in Memphis, one in Knoxville, one in Nashville. I think if they did the one in Fayetteville, one in Memphis, one in Little Rock, I think Memphis would sign in blood for that. Because it's just, man, it's like you just realize, like, there's only so many games where it feels like you can have, like, that type of crowd. And credit to the Arkansas people. Like, they were there, too. And, like, Arkansas basketball is always going to be a big deal to those fans. And I don't know. Like, I wish we would do more of these non-conference big games, like, on campuses.
No, I agree. And the thing about the Arkansas thing is Arkansas and Memphis, even since I was a little boy, I don't know where it came from, but it always been something there. Like the two wanted to play each other, but the powers to be never, it never let it happen. But it's just always been a thing. I think it's more icing on the cake now because you got Calipari. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe the winningest coach in Memphis basketball, I could be wrong on that. But somewhere at the top, I know we had a lot of success with him. And even look at him, though, after 15 years.
They kept saying the highest winning percentage, so I didn't know if that meant he didn't have the most wins. And then, no disrespect, I didn't know how much that was like, all right, how many wins got vacated. Like, I can't remember if he left as the winningest pro, the winningest coach in school history. But they kept hammering coach with the highest win percentage on the broadcast.
Okay. So I know it got to be up there. And to me, even the way he didn't, and this is not the, because I'm all Memphis, I'm all Penny.
Okay, so I got the numbers in front of me. And so, this is from Basketball Reference, so I don't know if this includes vacated games, but he has the most wins at 252, and Larry is second with 220.
Okay. And even the way Cal has you know, how long has Cal been gone? Almost 15 years.
His last year, it was the the second weekend of the 09 tournament. So we're now on we're on 16 years.
We're on 16 years. Even though I'm all whoever the coach at Memphis is currently, all Penny, the way he been to kind of swindle back the love here, how he been kind of politicking every time he come in town and he's at Gibson. And I think he's doing it from the heart and former players and supporting local. But it's like the crowd kind of, you had a couple of people wanting to boot him, but it's like they were mad. But I see so many people putting, he done finally won me back over. Like, I think he has won 60-70% of people over now.
I mean, I don't know how much of it was an act for the camera, but him and Penny were acting like Cal was showing me places in Memphis I hadn't even been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cal Cole with that. I ain't going to say people love him, but I'm going to say it ain't got to the point I feel like a lot of the hate is gone, if that makes sense.
I think time has helped. I do think it also helped the way that it ended at Kentucky. I think that was kind of cathartic for a lot of people, is the fact that, you know, basically he was kind of run out of town. But I think there's also the reality of, you know, you're looking back on a heck of an era of basketball. And I'm not saying that, because you and I have talked about this, like, I have no idea what the future holds in terms of this sport. But, like, if things keep going the way that it seems like right now, which is just going to be who can spend the most money, and I don't care if it's college football, I don't care if it's college basketball, I don't care if it's women's basketball, that's the reality. It's like, go look at the teams. Texas Tech didn't give a crap about softball, and all of a sudden they go and they pluck Stanford's number one pitcher, give her $1 million, and lo and behold, they're in the national championship series. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's all pretty self-explanatory, but there's this reality of, if this is that universe, well, a program that has realistically, for pretty much its entire existence, been able to dream big and it not be insane, well, now that's, I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Texas Tech, they just support everybody, don't they?
I mean, we gotta find us, you and me, we got to start playing the lottery together. And then when we win the lottery, let's go to Southland and let's put it on black and see if we can get like $500 million to a billion, because that seems to be what we just need. We need a billionaire that's like, I'm not going to buy a pro sports team. I'm just going to fund my university.
Yeah, I'm just going to support at that point. Yeah, because Texas, they really pay somebody. You just heard $1 million in softball.
Yes.
Or you was just-
yes. George, what was her name? She's electric.
Yeah, I know that, but
dude, she has to be the first person in the history of the world that voluntarily left Stanford to go to Texas Tech.
Kennedy is her last name.
Yes.
She's phenomenal.
She's awesome.
Didn't she pitch like the entire series for Texas Tech?
Like, the only reason they lost is because she had to pitch every inning and she got tired.
Well, you do know Stanford got a lot of billionaires. They might just got too much class and say they
they're well above that. Oh, no, no, this is for learning. Okay, well, do you want to win? Because let me teach you how to win.
That's a school that probably could win if they wanted to.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's what Andrew Luck is apparently. Luck is going to, like, he's interviewing people in Silicon Valley. Like, he's trying to, like, tap into, hey, could one of you just give me, like, just a little bit of your stock that I could sell, and then I can fund a football team?
He's the GM there?
Yeah, he's running the show.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I think he got a good face up there and a good reputation, so that should work itself out. So, Jeffrey, if we do go and win at the Blackjack, who you giving it to? Like, I got to put you on the spot for the people. Are you Memphis, the Ole Miss, the Pepperdine? Like, how would his go?
Oh, me funding Pepperdine and making that a winner could be interesting. let's see. I mean, the first thing I would be doing is, like, consulting if I had enough money to buy out Robert Pera to buy the Grizzlies. I'm assuming we're going to come up short on that. So I have been saying I will spend a lot of the money on all the stuff that the politicians and the Grizzlies are saying they want done to the downtown. So apparently I now would just be a commercial real estate developer. I'm sure that won't lose any money at all. But that's great. Like, what would I fund?
The Tigers, you anger?
I mean, there's just no way. Like, if Penny hits me up, there's just no way I would say no. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
I might make Silverfield work for it.
Yes.
How bad do you want it?
What if Ole Miss hit you up?
My wife would probably say, because this is where my wife handling the checkbook, that would come into play. If she had the option to make her Rebels nationally relevant, like at the Ohio State level, yeah, I'm going to say that there'd be a decent chunk of change going to the Rebels.
Then y'all might have to move, Coach.
Well, if I fund, I can do the FedEx thing where I just fund it all.
Fund it all, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, Mike Glenn was he's an Ole Miss alum, so FedEx was given a lot of money there, but no one felt like, oh, FedEx is shortchanging. Like, it's kind of you have to have, like, two kids. You know what I mean? You can't really favor one versus the other. But, like, that's kind of the thing I'm looking at is, like, all right, so getting to the college basketball question, because let's see who they all had. All right, so Borzello picked Purdue as his champion. Lenardi took Michigan. Myron took Houston. Then for their final four teams, and again, this is way early, whatever. Borzello has Purdue, Florida, Louisville, BYU, another team that we've talked about that's just letting the checkbook speak. Lenardi has Duke, Purdue, Michigan, UConn. Kentucky, Houston, Purdue, BYU. Houston, Purdue, Michigan, Florida. Like, I'm just like, this is what I think is what's difficult about the Tiger basketball question, which is, I got to assume every single one of those rosters is double whatever Memphis costs. Oh, no, did they get him?
I think they got him.
They heard us talking about the money, and they sniped
him. Let me get him back on the line here. No, I think they got him.
Because, like, if you go back to Ed Scott's comments about, if you look at what Kansas's revenue share number is, we're on point with that. Well, the issue is that doesn't include Kansas's collective. And so, yeah, rev share, I think they're going to be competitive, but that's not all it takes to fund the roster. And so that's kind of where I do think trying to figure out what a reasonable expectation for this program is difficult. Because then on the flip side, if you're just comparing it to the rest of the league, well, obviously the rest of the league is nowhere near. Okay, so I don't know what the last thing you heard, but this is my whole deal. It's like, when I'm mentioning these national title contenders, my guess is on average their roster's twice as much as in Memphis's.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I mean, Kentucky, yeah. Granted, I think some of these are deals that were done before House went in. So they remember the Final Four, whenever it was doing that mad dash to try and beat the settlement so that it could be grandfathered in. But Joe Tipton is reporting Kentucky's roster is $22 million.
I will say, I don't know, Kentucky roster is high. Now, some of these numbers be lying, but Kentucky, I know this because I done been to 3, 4, 5 SEC practices this fall or spring.
Yeah,
whatever
we're calling it, camp, I don't know, preseason.
And, preseason, and they have been talking about, they got a couple dudes that maybe got a couple million, but they're saying like almost every Kentucky got a lot of them, so they do, because their competitors are scared. I'm going to say, we're not scared or were.
And it also helps, Kentucky is in that mode of, they love Mark Pope, they got a UK grad back, he's exciting, he's personable, he's kind of the antithesis of Calipari, and there's also kind of a stick it to Cal thing, and everybody's just ponying up.
You know, it's always it now. Whenever you make a decision and you in the X break, you got to make the next situation work. You got to invest in it more.
Yes, of course.
And I do think Kentucky do care about football, but I just think they're one of the few schools in the SEC that they're going to make sure, them, Arkansas, they're going to make sure their basketball program still is as great as possible. So they got all that on their side. Now, I haven't did Purdue. I got a kid there, but they don't recruit our program heavily. But
Well, you don't have any like 7'5" white guys from Canada.
So I don't know if I'm sure they're in the Big Ten, so they got a good NIL. But I just actually think that guy fits his system, and that guy coaches his butt off. I could be naive. I know they got
Money. So I think he's well funded. I also think though they're big on paying their guys to stay. Because remember, Braden Smith. Remember, it was originally reported he was going to get into the portal, and then all of a sudden he was back at Purdue, which you and I all know that that is code for, hey, we're taking final offers.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be real. You need money for retainment because a couple schools told me this high school class 2026 is going to be more money for 2027 because unless you Kentucky or something, this was some high-end schools, they got to keep money to retain players that, you know, that's good and finna make a jump. And you know what I mean? And
yeah, absolutely.
Too. Yeah, they got to keep that money around before they can just go offer it to the high school kids. So that was a big deal, too.
Well, and, you know, you've got to make, not only are you offering them to the high school kids, it's like you got to make sure they can play early. Because then you just, if you don't think they can play early, then you're literally just lighting money on fire.
But some of them high majors got it, Jeff. It is some high school kids that's high major that's going to make $200,000-$300,000 and won't play much.
No, it's I understand. I'm never going to tell anyone what to do with a business situation. That's your money. That's your choice. But I do fundamentally, like as a concept, I am entirely with you. If I'm not one of these top five guys that are just undeniable, and you're going to just have to play me, I very much believe. Go to one of these mid-majors, get your numbers, get your points, and you are going to get a heck of a payday after your second year.
Yeah, you'll be able to double or triple your money yeah. like a PJ had. So it's like the way you look at it, like, oh, I don't want to turn this $300, $400 down for just $80 or $110. But long, if you look at the long, you'll make more because you can get – because what you have to do the other way around is – either stay where you at or probably drop down because you haven't had opportunity to get no stats.
Well, and then on top of that, like, you know, because you've had advising sessions, but like none of these guys have ever been on a team where they don't play. And speaking as someone who's played on a lot of really good teams and didn't play, let me tell you what's way more fun, playing.
Yeah, for sure. Playing is going to make you happy too.
Yes.
Now, it's hard to turn down a lot of money, but at the end of the day, I tell kids, look, don't pick the school before the money was before the money was legally on the table. Social media, a kid might pick, and I hate to use names, Duke over NC State because you're going to get more followers and you're going to get
sure.
more likes. But I'm like, okay, this will be over in a few weeks, and when you get to that school, if you're on the bench, you're not going to be happy. So make the right decisions career-wise will make you happy because being on the floor just it makes you happy, man. It's like, yeah, you can get better in practice and all that, but
it ain't the same.
You want experience.
It just isn't the same. All right, we'll talk to you again at the top of the hour, Coach.
Okay, take care.
That is, of course, Coach Norton Hurd, the fourth, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad. Let's continue the Tiger basketball conversation. Jason Munn's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on everything that happened at the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic. You're listening to 92.9 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
ESPN.
Jason Muntz is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Munz, what are we listening to? A?
It's the Bare Naked Ladies, of course. And
I figured you were going to go one of two directions. I thought you were going to go Bare Naked Ladies, or I thought you'd go Rush.
I mean, I got to ask why.
Oh, I thought you were going Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, heck no. I mean, like, there's actually, like, okay, so 100% the song choice today was random. Like, I just was going through, like, my playlist, and it happened to come up, and I thought, man, that's good. Okay, that's
sold.
That's it. And then it kind of dawned on me, falling for the first time, and that's what happened with the Tigers on Monday. And then it dawned on me, like, as I was listening to it just now, that that's off the album Maroon, which is one of the color, one of Arkansas's colors, I believe. And then
they kind of is maroon, or they go, I want to say they go crimson.
Well, maybe. Either way, it's
the same color, but yes, continue.
Yeah, it all comes out in the wash. But then it dawned on me also, I'm almost positive that album came out the same year John Calipari was hired at Memphis. Almost positive of that. And so, yes, all of that was a complete coincidence. And then you tack on the Blue Jays stuff. I'm all for it. Yes, I did it on purpose. Yes.
Yeah, totally. I guess my only problem with them now is, like, I get it. I know things happen, but it's like the Bare Naked Ladies, it's the same thing to me. It's like Blink-182 is Mark Hoppus, Tom DeLonge, Travis Barker. Like, Bare Naked Ladies, I don't really care who the other guys are, but it's Ed Robertson and Steven Page. And now that Steven's not in there, it's like, I just don't care.
Yeah, I fully understand all that. The one thing that, like, I liked Bare Naked Ladies because they were popular a quarter century ago or whatever, and that was all good, and it's fine, and it is, you know, it's good music or whatever. But I found a new appreciation for them maybe 10 years ago or so. I was reading an interview. Somebody interviewed Paul McCartney, and they were asking him, you know, like, what some of his favorite bands are. And he said one of them is the Bare Naked Ladies. So if they're good enough for Sir Paul, then who?
You know, I like the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah. First concert I ever saw, by the way, Paul McCartney in New Orleans at the Superdome when I was very young.
That beats mine. Britney Spears, Mud Island Amphitheater.
Oh my goodness.
Hit Me Baby One More Time tour. She came back around 11 months later for the Drive Me Crazy tour at the Pyramid.
but that was the first concert that, like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
so what is that? I think that's 99, I think.
Wow.
Maybe it was 98.
It was, I will say, I should back up. I was taken to a concert before the Paul McCartney concert in New Orleans. It was Huey Lewis in the News. I was not old enough to remember it, but I'm forever grateful that my mother dragged me along with her to that concert. It was at Six Flags, so it wasn't like, you know, she was taking a child.
Yeah, when I say Britney Spears, I'm saying, like, that's the first ticketed event. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I'm not saying, like, whatever. It's not the first time I've heard live music, but that's, like, the first actual show that, like, I got the ticket. You know, this was a day and age, kids, when we actually had, like, perforated tickets, and they took the stuff.
So, yeah, Paul McCartney, Britney Spears were, you know.
Right, 1A, 1B. Like, pretty much the same thing.
Same conversation, yes.
Same thing. All right, let's talk about Monday night. So, I guess I'll start with, because I was not in the building, I'm watching on TV. I'll start with the real-time chronological order. Should I have had that on my bingo card as the starting lineup?
No.
Because that took me, I was like, you're lucky you were working, because I almost texted you. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was my thought, honestly, when I heard about it. I had gotten wind of it earlier in the day that was what it was going to be, and I spent quite a few hours wondering that myself. And you know what? Like,
and to be clear, I'm not sitting there freaking out. It was just jarring to see. Because obviously, three of the five names, I think one could reasonably have expected to have seen.
For sure. But yes, no, like, after I got over sort of the initial jar, I was, you know, like, okay, whatever. It's an exhibition game. It's the first exhibition game. You know, I mean, like, okay, fine. For those who either don't know or don't remember, it was Doug McDaniel, Aaron Bradshaw, Sincere Parker, Curtis Gibbons III, and Ashton Hardaway. Now, Doug, Aaron, and Sincere, and honestly, I had heard a while ago that like, don't be surprised if Curtis Gibbons makes his way into the starting lineup. Like, I was told, do not be surprised if that happens. So that did not shock me. It was, however, a little bit of a surprise that Ashton Hardaway was in the starting lineup. But again, I think we don't need to – this is not – I don't think this is either one of us, if I can speak for you. This is not us, like, making a huge mountain out of this. It's just – it was just one of those things that was like
– when you saw it, you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that. It's not like, oh, my God, stop the presses, but it's like, well, I didn't have that.
Right, exactly. And so – and then Penny even said after the game, he was like – no, like, I fully, like, he said before he even made out that starting lineup, he had already decided that whatever it was going to be wasn't going to be that the next game. So, you know, that bears mentioning. And honestly, like, I could see it getting flipped in a variety of ways for Auburn tomorrow night. Like,
sure.
I could honestly see you know, more than one piece being moved, you know, in and out. So, but it was, you're right. It was a little bit like, whoa, didn't expect that.
And to be clear, Hurd came on last segment and it sounds like Hurd's been at practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Penny even said this, so this wouldn't be breaking news to you, but for those that are out there, he is very much experimenting right now.
Yes, yes, yes. He said that even before the game, but also after the game. And you know, he was asked, you know, apart from the starting lineup, he's like, you played, you know, the question was like, you played 11 guys, and you've said before that you probably were going to play 11 guys or thereabouts. Are you sticking with that? Like, do you think, based on what you saw tonight, in the Arkansas game, like, are you going to continue to do that? And he was like, no, I don't think so. So it seemed like something turned him off about playing that many guys in the game against Arkansas. I don't know. We'll see. I could still see him playing 11 against Auburn and even possibly into the season a little bit. But when he did, when he was talking about that, the deep rotation and the starting lineup, he like, I think he even said, I'm trying to get a better sense of who works well together, who works well in what situations, and it's just, it's the very definition of experimentation.
Okay, then the second note that I had was, were the officials instructed to call it, like, literally, like, as tight as humanly possible?
I give up, man. Like, these exhibitions and the whistles, I give up. Like, they called 25 fouls in the first half, Jeffrey.
Listen, I don't know what it was like in the building, and maybe if you're there, it didn't. That game on television felt like the longest 2.5 hours I've ever watched.
I can't believe it only lasted 2.5 hours.
I think it was, like, the final note, I think, was 2:36. Let me say. Oh, no. Hey, I lied. Oh, it was only 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Get out of here. There's no way. Somebody,
but remember, it started 25 minutes late.
I know. That's like, even I was going to say that. Like, it, you know, the referee's like, hey, guys, this is a bit of a late start. This is an exhibition.
Yeah, I would have thought there would have been some incentive, like, let's get it moving, boys.
Yeah, but no, absolutely not. And like I said, I mean, I don't know what's going on anymore with officials and exhibition games, because it was last year, if anyone remembers, the Memphis-Alabama game in Huntsville, where during the game, as not during a timeout, during the game, as the as play is going on, Nate Oates called Penny over in front of Media Row to midcourt to pitch the idea to him. Hey, I got, like, it was like 10 minutes into the game, and he's like, hey, Penny, I've got like 3 guys already in foul trouble because these refs are like going a little bit crazy with these whistles. Let's go to them during the next timeout and ask them not to count fouls anymore for the game. Like nobody fouls out. And they did, and the refs agreed, and everybody agreed, and there were no foul outs. It's just like, I don't know what's going on with refereeing in exhibition games anymore.
Well, and then I know, like, obviously Doug was phenomenal, but the other thing that I noted was, again, I didn't really care what the stat sheet said, but given the assignment he drew, I was pretty pleased with Aaron Bradshaw.
Same here. I was too. What did he finish with? Like 8?
I think it was 8, but he was like 4 for 4 from the line, and he took 1 3, but, like, I think Arkansas's bigs are pretty good. And yeah. I think part of the reason he's in Memphis is some of the athleticism of the bigs in the Big Ten gave him problems, and he had trouble getting on the floor. I thought he acquitted himself pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. He fouled out after 18. He played 18 minutes, and he fouled out, and he finished with, I think, like 8 and 4 or something like that. I don't think he had any blocks or any steals. But I want to say he took 1 3 and he missed it.
Yeah.
I feel like you'll see a little bit more of that from him moving forward. Maybe not against Auburn, but we'll see. But, you know, a couple of, I mean, you know, there was some not so good stuff. Like, he went up once for a dunk, and I think it was on Nick Pringle, and who, like, I think is like at least a couple of inches, maybe 3 inches.
Certainly, again, I don't care what they're listed at, but it certainly felt like he was bigger.
Pringle bigger than Bradshaw?
No, I'm sorry. Bradshaw's bigger than Pringle, because they list Pringle at 6'10".
Okay, so no, yeah, like, so Aaron's like at least 2 or 3 inches taller by the listed height, and yet Pringle blocked his dunk attempt, and it was a legit, just straight up blocked his shot. And you know, that's not, you know, you don't like that necessarily, but I will say, on the same play, Aaron, like, out-toughed Pringle for the rebound. Like, he got the loose ball, and I want to say he went back up for another shot and was fouled.
Good old stat play.
Yeah, so, like, you like that. Like, you know, he didn't give up on the play. And, you know, he might have gotten out-toughed initially, but then he out-toughed the guy who out-toughed him. And so I thought that was a, you know, it was, like, not so hot. And then it was like, okay, well, you know, he made up for it. And I thought that was an encouraging sign from him. But, you know, overall, I think it was a positive night for Aaron Bradshaw. But also there was some, you know, there's there's some stuff that I think he can clean up and will be able to do it against the not Arkansas's of the world.
Okay, then the other note, and this definitely falls into the overreaction category, but the other note was Doug might be the only person I'd give a green light to.
I love overreacting.
Uh-huh. Football brain.
You mean just from like...
From three.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, because what was he? He was 3 for 5.
So they made six. They were 6 of 32 as a team, and Doug was 3 of 5.
Which means that the rest of the team was 3 for 28.
Correct. And it felt every bit of that.
Or 3 for 27. Yeah, that's not super good. I mean, 6 for 32 ain't great to begin with. But now, to be fair to Memphis a little bit, I didn't look at it so close to like be able to say this is just when they started jacking up threes because they were losing and they were just bad. You know,
yeah, I still in the first half it was still bad. Let's see, first half alone, it was better because it was 4 of 14, but it still wasn't great. You know what I mean?
Yes. So what I think Zach Davis and Ashton Hardaway were a combined 2 for 13 or something like that. Something like that. And then I think Curtis
was 1 for 6. Ashton was 1 for 7. As we mentioned, Bradshaw 0 for 1, Sincere 0 for 1, Barry 0 for 4, Davis 1 for 6, Abdul Hakeem 0 for 1, Thedford 0 for 1.
I think Quante shot like 38% at Temple last year. You know, you would think that that's going to get better. So, but yeah, based on what we saw just Monday night, yeah, Doug feels like the guy that you want, you know, taking high volume shots from the 3-point line. Yeah, it wasn't great. But as I pointed out in the story that published this morning, like, don't forget what happened against North Carolina in the exact same game exactly a year ago.
Yes.
Memphis was 5 of 27, I believe it was, in that game from 3. And then they went on to shoot 37% as a team the rest of the regular season and the postseason. So, you know, like, looks can be deceiving in the exhibition in the preseason.
Definitely looks can be deceiving. But I guess my overall take was, despite the fact, whatever, the score getting the way that it did at the end,
mm-hmm.
I kind of left feeling a little better about the team. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Because I think Arkansas is good.
Yes.
Now, are they national title good? I don't know. But, like, that to me looks like a team that's for sure going to be in the second weekend again. And for about 20 to 25 minutes, like, I thought they belonged with them.
ESPN published something this morning saying that, like, including Arkansas in their Final Four contenders category. And that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, obviously you got Cal and then Malik Thomas is like freshman of the year material, national freshman of the year material. Like Billy Richmond is like continuing to get better and better and better. And obviously they got Darius Acuff, who's really, really good. And a bunch of, you know, not a bunch, but like a few, transfers. Nick Pringle, I've already mentioned. Malik Ewan is a guy that played really well the other night. So Arkansas is really, really good. But I think, like, as you said, I didn't know what to expect going in. Because
I mean, that's kind of the other thing is that, okay, I have a better idea of what Arkansas is. And so since I didn't really know what Memphis was, the fact that my eyes told me that this is at least competitive, that kind of left me feeling better.
Yeah, and again, like, you can throw out whatever happened at the end when they went on a 13-0 run because basically Memphis was like out of gas, and it turned into a 22-point or 24-point when it was not. It was much more competitive than that. Memphis was like up by 15 in the first half at one point. So yes, like, I came away feeling, if I was, you know, thinking like a fan, I came away encouraged. And that's what Penny said after the game. That's what Doug McDaniel said after the game. Like, they came away feeling really, really good. And I think with good reason.
All right. Any other final notes?
Auburn, 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 Eastern Time.
Are we getting TV?
No.
Okay.
No, so just, you know, go to commercialappeal.com. I'll be putting up live updates on the website and posting videos on social media.
I'd love to follow you there, but my Twitter's hacked.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I said I did not buy a Maybach if you didn't think I did.
We talked about that. Yeah. You gotta be somebody for that to happen.
Yep.
So that's
for sure. That's the spin zone.
A feather in your cap.
Yeah.
But another chance to see what Memphis has going on. Another chance to see Stephen Pearl's Tigers
year one. All right, yeah. My man. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. We come back. Let's get into the list. There's an interesting story that I want to pick Coach Hurd's brain on about what we're seeing early in the first week of the NBA, particularly on the defensive side. I want to talk about that. Also, some Nick Saban was quoted by Chris Lowe discussing the LSU job. I want to pick his brain on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.